Welcome to lesson 28, the how of your business model. We're coming to the end of the Creative Freedom Business Model Design Series. You've already learned the hardest parts of the model, you plus why plus who. Those are the internals of the business model. You've also learned about the offers, the what of the business model. Now we're going to put the final piece of the puzzle in place with the how, or the way you deliver your offers to your clients. Offers and delivery are the last parts of the model because they're informed by the first part. If you don't know who you're serving, how can you sell anything to them? If you don't know how they prefer to consume your offer, how can you deliver it to them effectively? Take baby aspirin, for example. In 1947, entrepreneur Abe Plow developed baby aspirin, that orange-flavored, chewable pharmaceutical that ultimately revolutionized children's medicine. Using advertising in prominent parenting magazines, newspapers, radio, and television, St. Joseph Aspirin for Children became a blockbuster product because Plow found a way to deliver the product in a way that worked better for his audience. Maybe a little too well, because according to the history books, baby aspirin became the number one drug ingested by children in the 1950s. Plow saw his profits soaring in the double digits yearly, sometimes by as much as 50%. But along with that, children's overdosing was on the rise. And the number one cause was the tasty, orange-flavored, brightly colored candy aspirin that children were actively seeking out in their homes. By 1951, 3 years after St. Joseph Aspirin for Children became available, preschool-aged children represented 80% of aspirin deaths. This eventually led Plow's company to the invention of the first child safety caps. And Plow was clever enough to figure out that this new hurdle could actually be an advantage if he was the first to bring it to market. Using his considerable profits to promote new, safer for your family packaging, sales of St. Joseph Aspirin for Children continued to climb while other manufacturers scrambled to follow suit. Now, there's more to the story, which I'll include in the bonus links for this lesson, but the key point here is to recognize that Plow's innovation wasn't aspirin. In fact, aspirin had fallen off patent and out of favor by the time he created a formulation that worked. He innovated on something that already existed and then delivered it in a different way. Plow created a low-dose, flavored, chewable tablet and targeted an entirely new audience, children. Children had been taking medication before this, but never had medication been specifically formulated with the desires of children, and by suit, parents, in mind. Fighting with kids to take their medicine is something no parent looks forward to. And if it weren't for Plow, Mary Poppins probably never would have sung about how a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Sure, the idea of flavoring bitter medicinals has been a thing since the Middle Ages, but no one had marketed a solution with the flavor built in like Plow did. That's why delivery is the last piece of the business model. You're not going to ship a heavy art object using priority mail. The cost would be enormous. Likewise, you're not going to perform a concert via email. You need to find the right delivery method for the offer. So while the delivery method is technically part of the offer, it still can't be decided upon until you've gotten full clarity on what it is you're actually going to deliver. So there are two components to the how: your delivery system and your platform. That's it. Two elements that you can use to create an infinite number of combinations. Platform is basically the place that you go to get or market the thing you're trying to sell, whilst the delivery system is the way in which you get it. It's a slight but important distinction. In this way, a vending machine is both the platform, the place you go, and the delivery vehicle, the way to get it. So let's take Wendy's, for example. Their platform for delivery is their network of stores. The delivery system is the personal delivery of the food and drink that you order, either at the indoor ordering counter or outside in the drive-thru. So they hand you the product directly, okay? Other restaurants might bring the food to your table, Or maybe like a salad bar, there's a buffet where you serve yourself. Those are all delivery systems, the way to get the thing that you've paid for. In all those cases, however, the platform is the building where the food is located. Wendy's can't get their burger to you through the television, but they can use the television as a platform to market to potential audience members who are then likely to visit their building in order to get the food. There are also other platform options, like having Uber Eats pick up your food and deliver it directly to your customer. My favorite Ethiopian restaurant doesn't have the ability to provide a delivery service on their own. The overhead and the insurance for delivery are too cost prohibitive for this little mom and pop shop. Instead, they've partnered with Uber Eats to have their drivers provide food to the customers in exchange for a small fee. Now, this looks like a delivery system, but let's look real close here, because this is actually Uber's delivery system and the restaurant's platform. Okay, stay with me here. The Ethiopian restaurant uses the Uber Eats app, which is a platform, to get their products sold. The food is then delivered by the restaurant while still inside their store, but they're delivering it to the driver, not to the customer. It's the driver that then provides the final delivery of the food through Uber's delivery system. Now, admittedly, this might sound a little bit complex, but it's no different than wholesaling your offers to a third party who then marks it up for sale in their establishment. Your platform is their store, while your delivery system is the act of wholesaling it to them in the first place. For example, every time I sell a copy of my book on Amazon, they handle the printing and the shipping for me. They are both my platform and my delivery system. It's where people go to get the book, and they are the ones who deliver the book. On the other hand, if somebody buys the book through my website, and then I pass that order to Amazon for fulfillment, then my website is the platform, and Amazon is still my delivery system. If someone sees the book on Amazon, but then comes and buys the book from me in person at an event, then Amazon was the marketing platform, but I am the ordering platform. And because they're getting it from me in person, I'm also the delivery system. Do you see how that works? As I've mentioned before, this can be as simple or as complex as you want to make it. Multiple platforms, multiple distribution channels, or you can keep it simple. A digital download of your song that's only available on iTunes. One delivery system, one platform. It can be easy. It can be simple. As you are assessing your offers, consider not only how you're currently delivering them, but other ways that might also work. Now, before recorded music, the only way to enjoy your favorite tunes was to listen to them live. Before radio, the only way to enjoy the music of your favorite performer was to either watch them live or have a recording. Now, you can hear your favorite artists in a variety of formats, which are delivery systems, from a variety of places, which are platforms, including live, assuming that they're still living. At one time, copies of art were considered forgeries, and now limited edition prints of an original artwork are a commonplace, more affordable way to make this artist's work more accessible to a larger audience. In the internet marketing world, where I've spent most of the last 25 years, affiliate relationships and joint venture partnerships, JVs, are all the rage. In essence, you team up with other people to help promote your offerings, and in exchange, you pay them a commission. It's an exchange of trust, permission, and currency that capitalizes on the partner's existing audience relationship. Basically, you don't have to do the work of finding the audience because you're relying on your partner's platform for that. Now, if they're only helping to promote, it's an affiliate relationship, like Uber Eats. If they're also participating in the offer, then it's a JV partnership. Now, Tony Bennett is probably the best known JV partner in the world, and you might not even think of him that way. His collection of Duets albums, Duets, Duets 2, and Viva Duets, have him partnering with some of the biggest names in music, which not only helps to bolster his career, but also puts him in front of audiences that might not otherwise know his music. The benefit for the partner is not only financial compensation, but the added benefit of working with a legend in the music industry and getting their voice heard by an audience that might not otherwise listen to their music. There's not typically a lot of crossover in the fan bases of artists like Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga, at least not until they do a duet together. What different ways can you bring your great work to your people? Remember, it's not your job to tell them how to consume it. It's your job to get them to consume it in a way that works for them. If your what and your how don't match up with what works for your audience, don't be surprised if nobody shows up. Remember, I matter, you matter, we matter. You have to strike the balance between what works for you and what works for your audience. So your assignment is to take one of your products or services and hold it up to your business model. Do the internals and the externals match up? If not, what needs to change? Review the what and the how of your offer. Do they work well together? If not, what needs to change? Are you asking too much from your raving fans, or do you need to ask for more? Make note of what needs to shift, change something, and then evaluate the results 30 days or 60 days from now. See if things improve. If they don't, you might need to tweak it again. Remember, plan, do, evaluate. We have to figure out what we're going to change. We have to make that change, and then we evaluate what's happening. In our next lesson, we're going to wrap up the four C's. We're doing a lot of wrapping up right now. We're going to wrap up the four C's, and we're going to talk about courage and cash flow as part of your mindset training. And I will see you there.